Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you again. We found out that Reese Road is closed. We came that way and then had to turn all the way around and come around, so I'm glad we came a little early. It's good to be back with you again. Don't you continue to hate the news? I just don't think I want to watch the news anymore. Everyone hates everyone. Everyone fights everyone. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket, to excuse the expression. Everything seems so negative. I just don't want to watch it. So, I want to bring you something today that Linda and I have been struggling with. Some of you younger people look at us and say, look at those old people. Well, folks, we don't feel old. I'm still looking for God's purpose in my life, and Linda's looking for God's purpose in her life. And you all see us, there you go. And you all see us as dinosaurs. We don't. We see ourselves as, what does God want us to do next? We're trying to find that. What's your purpose? And you know, I've always believed that your purpose in life changes. It's not just one purpose. When you're younger, I was so smart. I was going to school. That was my purpose. And then I finished that 3 or 4 different times. And then now what? Well, now I'm going to work. Okay, great. I worked. And then I changed work. And I changed work. And I changed work. That kept changing. And now, all of a sudden, quote, we stopped working. Well, that's not right. I'm still working. In fact, I'm more pressured today than I've been in years. I was asked by an accreditation agency to evaluate 3 schools, 3 universities on their credentials. Linda said, you're crazy for doing that. It's hard work. I have to look at everything those schools, including enrollment, how their money is, if they're doing a good thing in education. That's my job, the whole school. So I've looked at 2 out of the 3. I've got 1 more to go. The first one is okay. The second one, I'm going to recommend that they close. You don't think that's not hard? But they aren't going to make it. They're a small university, their enrollment's dropping, and their finances are atrocious. And God's giving me that purpose at this time. Do I feel overwhelmed? Yes. And I'm going to be starting to teach a couple of classes in a few weeks online. People from all over the world. And I have these 2 classes. I'm thinking, oh my, oh my. Here's this old guy teaching them in classes. It's just overwhelming. But God, I guarantee you, has given you a purpose today. Now, we're going to be looking at Ephesians. It's a book in the Bible, in the New Testament, the 2nd chapter, verses 8 through 10. Now, we're going to concentrate on those 8 through 10s, but in this 1 through 7, this is part of my teaching thing today. Sorry, translator, this is before the sermon. Verses 1 through 7 are one long sentence in the Greek language. And the first 3 verses talk about the fact that, you know, the world has got you tied up in knots. You're tied into the world, and if you're tied into the world, you're not happy. You hear that? If you're tied into the world, you're not happy. Or will you ever feel complete? And then verses 4 through 6 talk about what it really means. It talks about the mercy of God. Linda and I were talking about this. She was talking theologically to me on the way today. She said, difference between grace and mercy. Do you know the difference? Well, we'll talk about that sometime. But this is God's mercy. When you deserve punishment, you don't get it because He is merciful. And this is what salvation is all about. This first 10 verses in this passage are these great theological terms of saved by grace because of God's mercy through faith. But it doesn't end there. And that's what verses 8 through 10 is all about. Verses 8 through 10 are talking about, okay, great. Now, what's your purpose? Now, I'm going to look at you today, folks. You got families, and you're all caught up in what you're doing. Our little girl. I'm not going to tell you how old she is because she's not little anymore. She's quite up there. 2 black belts in Taekwondo. Yeah. She's a full-time teacher. Well, she teaches. 2 black belts. She's mean. She's tough. You don't want to mess with her. And you know what? She's talking about her kids are ready to fly out of the nest and going to college. And some of them are in high school, getting towards the end of high school careers. And she's saying, well, then what do I do with my life? Do you see? Every one of you have faced that, or are facing it, or will face it. It's that changing purpose in life. Just before I came here and I hadn't showed it to Linda, there's some pictures of the kids when they were really little. And you know, when you're little and your family, your purpose does surround a lot about your household, doesn't it? What happens when they grow up and go? Okay? Your purpose in God. So, we're looking at Ephesians 2nd chapter 8 through 10. Many people are going to go, we're to our message now. Many people will go through their entire life without knowing their purpose. God has a purpose for you, folks. It's not a secret. Linda keeps asking me, saying, what's my purpose? I've been reading again the book by Rick Warren, his famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He says you have 2 options in discovering your purpose in life. 1 is speculation, where people guess or theorize why we exist. Philosophers have been doing this for thousands of years with no real answers. Did you know? There was one who studied this as a philosophy professor in the university. He sent out all these surveys to all these great philosophers around the world as part of one of his postdoc studies. And you know what? All their answers came together saying they really were just guessing. They really didn't know why they existed. All of these really smart people. So, they've been doing this for thousands of years. So, the other option is to discover, and the reason for discovering the purpose of an invention and how you do it is to go back to the one who created the invention, is to ask the creator to explain it, the purpose for it. And so, you and I are not left in the dark. You should build your lives on the changing options instead of looking to what is popular in psychology, what success people tell you can have in motivations. I hate motivation seminars. I hate those. It's somebody standing up there smiling all the time like this. And they just look so motivated. I hate those things. I'm sorry, you probably love them. I think they're a waste of time. The only motivation I'm getting from them is they're getting a lot of money to be up there telling you to be motivated. They're getting something out of it. Sorry. I just see the person, there's one in particular, just stands there and smiles all the time. I ever wonder if he's really happy. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. So, you should be careful of changing opinions. That's what happens. We're in a big wave right now of what people think you should be doing with your life in the world. Folks, it is in Christ where we find out who we are and what we're living for. There are several words or phrases I could use about that depending upon the generation you grew up in. You probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's some phrases. 1, I love this one. I'm trying to find myself. That's always a really good one. The second one is, I want to find out my destiny. 3rd one is, Lord, what am I really supposed to do in life? And 4, Lord, do I have a purpose? These statements are really just 4 different ways of saying the same thing. So this morning, I really want you to focus and listen as I read from the scripture. But I'm going to ask you to do something different. I want to read these verses of Scripture from God's Word, and I want you to visualize what God is actually saying to you. So folks, when I read these Scriptures, listen. It has something to say to you. Number one, Genesis 1, 27. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. He created them male and female. He created man. So folks, you're not a random selection and choice. God actually, I believe, formed us. He made us. Proverbs 25. The purpose in a person's heart is like deep water, but a person of understanding will draw it out. He wants us to develop to be a person of understanding. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And finally, in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's artwork, masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us a long time ago. Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Christ Jesus. This is what He wanted to do, and it gives Him great pleasure. Psalm 139. For He created you in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. That's good Presbyterian theology. Proverbs 19:21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Let us pray briefly. Lord, open our hearts, change our lives, guide us and direct us, and guide us to true joy and fullness in our lives. Speak to us through these words you've given us. Amen. So I'm going to ask you three things this morning. Does God have a purpose for everyone? Does God want me to know what my purpose is? And is it possible to go all the way through life and not knowing your purpose? The answer to all three of these questions is yes. Yes, God has a purpose for everyone here today. I'm looking at all of you. You're looking back. You know, He has a purpose for you. What? I'm going to step back. I've asked you this before. Why are you here today? Did your family make you come? Yeah, some. Yeah, the answer, I mean, my parents made me go to church when I was little. Of course they did. That's what a parent does. Did you come on your own volition? Did you come because you believe some of this? Did you come expecting some? See, what did you come here for? What's your purpose? God wants you to know exactly what your purpose is. And yes, it's possible to go through all of life and miss your purpose. But I want you to look at several truths this morning. First of all, it says in those scriptures I just read you, if you were listening, and of course I know you were. Of course you were, to most of it. First of all, you were made in God's image. The Creator of this world created light, and the first day said it was good. Second day He created the sky and said it was good. Then for three more days He created the universe that we live in, and each day He paused and looked at the creation and said, God said, what? It's good. And then, on the final day of creation, He created man in His image. You notice it says in here, and this is a great theological tripstone for a lot of people, in our likeness. And that makes a lot of people think that we're polytheistic. You know what that is? Polytheistic? Polytheism? We're monotheistic. We Christians, you know that? Okay, good. I'm looking at you. Some of you do. All right. This isn't polytheism. It's a reference to the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always existed in unity as one in our image, at present from the beginning, but His response on this day was different when He created you and I He said, this is all very good. So folks, I'm looking at you. You are very good. You feel good today? Yeah. I had a headache yesterday. I stayed on a farm over the weekend. A lot of allergies. I love the farm, but they have hay everywhere. Wow. I came out of there with allergies. I didn't feel very good that day. And I had some bad thoughts about people. I didn't feel very good about that either. Isn't that honest? Don't you like honesty from somebody up here? Yeah. I didn't like some people. I didn't feel well. Isn't that kind of combined sometimes? I don't feel well, therefore I don't like people even more, in some cases. Do you ever think of that? Okay. So, you are very good. I'm good too. Why? You were made by God, folks. You really are pretty special. So, the Milky Way is only one galaxy in our universe, and I'm real big. You know how far light travels? You know how fast it travels? 186,000 miles a second. And when you hear something is 10 million light years away, you want to do the math? If 186,000 miles per second, how many seconds in a minute? 60. How many minutes in an hour? 60. How many hours in a day? How many days in a year? Yeah. Do you get the math? When we say something is 10 million light years away, wow! Isn't that astounding? I look at you and go, well, yeah. No, that's astounding. That's a big deal. So astronomers are now telling us that the universe holds more than 200 billion galaxies. That's beyond my, I can't understand even that. Anything that we can comprehend, God has made it tenfold. Yet God says that when he made man, that mankind, you and I, are his crowning achievement. He made the universe, the animals, and as far as we can... Do you ever think about Adam's job of naming the animals? Whether you take this literally or not, I'm always amused by it. You know, the animals are trotted by and he's supposed to have named them. Can you imagine Adam standing there? Okay, platypus. You know, where do they name all these animals? I think that's just great. Sorry, that's on the side. I love that my students got Adam's naming all of these animals. I just found that interesting. So, as far as we can see and beyond, we can imagine, yet man is the only one that's made in his image. Now, what does that mean? Well, it does not mean that we look like God, because God is spirit. When we're made in the image of God, it means that God gives us the ability to be able to communicate with him. Guess what you're doing today in this house? You're communicating with God. Not with me. That makes very little difference. You're here in the presence of God himself, communicating with him, his spirit, in your heart, talking to your brain right now. And that means that that privilege is not given to the stars as astrology teaches, and I studied some of that. Interesting. Privilege was not given to the earth as a New Age philosophy is given. The privilege is only, it says, given to man to communicate that way, not some innate, inanimate object. You and I have the ability to be able to communicate with God of this universe because you and I are made in his image. And folks, you're communicating with God today. You're in his house. We're told he's present with us. Secondly, you are made in God's image on purpose. There are no accidents with God. The psalmist wrote these words, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God spoke to Jeremiah and said, before I formed you, I put you in the womb. I knew you. God made us in his image and on purpose. So God made us in his image. He made us on purpose, and finally, today, for a purpose. All of us have experienced a time of our lives where we ask hard questions like, Lord, why am I here? What is it you want me to do,
What's my purpose? What you've called me to do? Well, let's look at some principles. Number one, God calls every one of us into full-time service. Did you know, whatever you're doing, you're here, made in His image, for His purpose, to use your gifts for Him. That's what you're here for. And I guarantee you won't be happy until you do that. Serving God's not part-time. It's 24/7, 365, and sometimes, folks, I don't do that very well. Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Now, you may find yourself in a life situation. Some of you are starting back up to school. I'm glad I don't have to do that again. That's some of you go, yay, and then some of them go, oh, no, I've got to really work again. It's been a great summer. And some of you are in life situations and jobs that you find ordinary, mundane. Perhaps you don't even especially enjoy it. You ever been in those mundane jobs? You think I enjoy evaluating three universities? That is hard and boring. Really hard. Details, things, minutia. But I'm good at it. So I'm doing it. So, if you're where you believe God wants you to be, then work at it as though you're working for God Himself. That's the way to look at it. How many of you have ever been in a place that you didn't like, you just didn't care for it? And I believe that would be all of us, and some of us are in that situation right now. 100% of us sometimes have been in a life situation that just isn't the most pleasant. Recently, a family went to Disney World, I read about. I'm going to give you what they were saying. This is a picture of that vacation place, Disney World. And this is how I envision Disney World. You like Disney World? Yeah, okay. It's a sea of people there. I love crowds. Wrong. I hate crowds. I mean, just good all around you. Lines were everywhere to do anything. You know those great rides you want to ride? You're 3 miles towards the back of the line. It takes you an hour and a half for a minute and a half ride. You ever been on those? Yay! Minute and a half, yay. 3 hours waiting to get to it. The cashier, he stood in line to get some food. Cashier was handling two separate lines by himself, and they were long. Very patient man, he said. When he finished ordering, he said to him, "The job must be stressful at times with all these people to deal with." He looked at me and said, "I love it. It's all what you make of it." In other words, and this is what Linda tells me all the time, so I wrote this in here for her. In other words, attitude is what makes a difference in your life and work. In your work, you do it as though you're doing it for good and for the Lord. Attitude makes all the difference. I'm trying to look at you again. Lights. Can't see you that way. You know it's hot up here? Yeah, it's warm. Attitude makes all the difference. You agree with that? Sure does. If I go into something with a bad attitude, guess what probably is going to happen? I'm going to stay bad and get worse. I may do it, but it doesn't make me happy. So attitude is what makes the difference. You need to agree with that. Yes, yes, it does. Principle number two. God will give you the gifts that are necessary to do the work He calls you to do. And I believe this, and I want to remember when I'm facing some of these things. This applies to our work both inside and outside the church. It's a huge principle that we really need to pay attention to. Because many of us said at one time or another, I believe God wants me to do this or that. Guess what? Some of you may be called to teach a class. I love teaching. I just feed on it. I love it. I'm teaching a subject I really like. Oh man, I'm all over it. I believe everybody out there should just love it too. They may ask you sometimes to talk about what your faith means. Sometimes it means that in churches you give financially. Sometimes it means something simple like taking care of family or others. That may be what your gift is to do. Linda has much more compassion than I do. I have compassion. Don't give me not that. But, you know. All right.
So we're going to go sit, babysit with the grandkids, right? Sounds great, right? That's a lot of work. I mean, she just eats that up and she's smiling. I'm going, when are the parents coming home? I'm exhausted. That's a lot of work. So, see, that's a gift. She doesn't see it as a gift, but it is. It's DNA in her. My DNA says, oh, wow, this is fun, you know? So, you have gifts. Sometimes we just say that we can't do any of these things. I can't share my faith because I don't know what to say. I can't do this. I can't do that. But let me show you a better way. There's one powerful word that's in our vocabulary. One of the most powerful words in the English language is can't. We have used that word since we were children. And when we do, it really means one of several things. First of all, I can't. My parents won't let me. Have you used that before when you were little growing up? I can't. My parents won't let me. Sure, you have. I can't. I don't have the time. I've used that. I can't. I don't have the resources to do something. So look at it this way. Let's say you have a feeling, it's strong, that God really wants you to do some particular thing, and you give your particular response. This one is, I can't. Either we don't have the confidence or the words or the time or the money to do it. But there's also another reason, a deeper one. Here it is. I don't want to do it because it's too much work. It's too hard. I'm comfortable with the way things are. So sometimes we just don't do something because it's too hard. And I don't have the confidence to do it. Because I don't know if I can do it. Tell you the truth, I'm in the middle of some of that right now. What I'm trying to do in all of these things together is too hard. It makes you not want to do it. Is that honest enough? It makes you not want to do it. You know what it took for me to create a sermon to come up here today? You all want to try that sometime? To write out a sermon for a congregation? I mean, you're well educated. You know this stuff. So I'm supposed to think of something to say to you. How do you do that? Is it just pop into your, somebody write, this is biblical, handwriting on the wall type stuff? So you know how hard this was? He can develop just a few minutes of a sermon to you all today? Your pastor has to do it every Sunday. It's hard. Because some Sundays, don't you say, oh, the sermon's really just okay today? You ever? Okay, you do it. I can say this since I'm just here on occasion. You try that, folks. That's hard, so give him a break. He's got to keep you interested every Sunday. That's hard. So guess what? You let God help you. So when I'm thinking, you know the best way I develop a sermon? Okay, what am I struggling with this week? Okay, should I be doing this or not? Purpose. Let me write a sermon on purpose. Do you see how this works? I think God does that sometimes. We just look at it a little differently. So, you see all the descriptive terms in the Bible giving regarding your purpose in life. One thing we're never told, folks, is that your life is going to be easy. Maybe we need to stop looking for easy. Paul closes his letter to the church in Philippi by reminding us of the kind of things we should think about. Listen to these words. Closes Philippians by saying this. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are right. Think on things that are noble, that are pure and lovely and excellent in life. He then focuses on the circumstances of life. Wouldn't it be great if everyone right now wanted to do what was right? Not what was best for them, but what was right. Wouldn't we have a different world? He asked us, Paul in his writing, to look at the circumstances of life, like when we are in need or we have plenty, when we are hungry or when we're full. No matter what, folks, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So take the time to take the T out of the can't equation. Change it from can't
to can. A huge difference. That sounds like one of those motivational speakers. I hate that sentence. All right, disregard what I just said. That sounded like Joe motivational, and I am very sorry for that, because some of you are going, oh yeah, now there he goes. That's it. Look, just know you're created in God's image, and you have a purpose, and He made you for something. Folks, you've got a reason for being here. Right now, it may be raising children. Right now, it might be babysitting grandchildren. It might be working a job that's kind of hard, but you're good at it. To do this, we have to take one thing into account that's holding us back. That fear, that concern, that unknown, and turn it over to God. We have crosses, all of us. Remember, Paul writes about the thorn in the flesh type things. Paul, all of them talked about weaknesses and were weak. The Bible speaks on a number of occasions when men and women who faced great difficulty in determining God's will, some fell back, some missed great opportunities, but some moved forward and lived a life that was filled with contentment and purpose. Folks, I want you to be content. You're good people. When everything in creation fulfills its purpose, it brings glory to God. And you bring glory to God by really, folks, you're getting to know Him. In here, don't get to know me. Get to know God. That's why you're here. Secondly, you bring glory to God by learning to love other people. Thirdly, you bring glory to God by growing up, folks. It's time for us to grow up. Me too. Time for me to grow up. You bring glory to God by serving. And folks, it just simply means some simple things. You serve God, you serve your family, you serve friends. You might even serve strangers that you don't even know. Brings glory to God. And you bring glory to God by determining who you are going to live for. When you live for yourself in the world, folks, watch the news. That's what's going on. Doesn't it seem like everybody's out for himself or herself? Everybody. You bring glory to God when you simply serve, knowing that He created you. And look at all of you. Each one of you, you look so distinct. You notice that? It's great. You look great. Yeah, you all look great. He made you specially. Is it going to be easy? No. Are you going to be happy all the time? No. But every life stage changes. You grow up. And I'm still growing up. I'm a kid. I'm going to do something different next week. I'm growing up. And I'm going to do that until I'm 105. So folks, grow up in Christ. You're here for a purpose. Let God speak to your heart. It's that simple. Be happy. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we can look around at life circumstances, and surely we see a troubled world. We see things that are not positive, and we can be swept up in it, especially when we're struggling with things in our own lives. God, our Father, I believe, and I believe your passage tells us that true happiness and contentment comes from simply looking at what we were made for, what we're made like. Some of us are tall, some of us are not tall, some of us have abilities to build things, some of us have ability to learn and do things. It's just, each one of us, Lord, are unique in your name, and I thank you for that. I thank you for this church, for this congregation, for these people, so unique. Help us learn to grow up, to use our gifts, and find contentment because we're seeking to serve you and not just ourselves. Bless us as we go forward in your name. Amen and amen.